Thank you for tuning in to the Covenant Podcast, a podcast dedicated to the teaching and preaching of God's Word. The Covenant Podcast is a ministry of Covenant Baptist Church located in Indianapolis, Indiana. And now, here is today's speaker.
God does not tempt to evil. The scriptures are clear about that. He does not hold out for us evil. He, though, does test us. He does. Are you being tested tonight? Is in your life, is there a test that God is allowing into your life because He wants to bring you out to the other side of the test? See, there's a terrible damage that's been done to our culture and to our very way of thinking in our world, the world that we live in here. We have this idea, we have somehow equated the lack of struggle with happiness. We somehow allowed ourselves to believe that in order to be happy, there must be the absence of struggle and trial. That's not at all what the scriptures reveal. It's not at all what God tells us. You all probably know about the emperor moth, and in its cocoon, as it breaks out of that cocoon, there is incredible pressure that is put on that emperor moth and its wings, the blood, and comes into the veins and it strengthens those wings. And there's a story told about somebody who saw this emperor moth and he was struggling to get out of that cocoon, and he took a pair of scissors and just snipped a little bit of the cocoon away, thinking he was doing the moth a favor. And what happened is that moth never flew. Once it walked its whole small, pitiful life because it did not go through the struggle of getting out of the cocoon. You see, what we do is we push struggle away and we pray, God, remove this pain from me. And that's normal. And that's not even necessarily a bad thing to ask God of. Jesus himself says, Father, in the Garden of Gethsemane, if there's any other way, but not my will, yours be done. It's said that if you remove the stones, the brook loses its song. If you remove the difficulties in our life, you remove the beauty of God in the midst of them. God is trying to teach us things, and He teaches us most often, it seems to me, through struggle and difficulty and hardship. This is not a message that the world understands. It's not a message that the world accepts, but it's true. Show me in Scripture a single person, man or woman, who did not struggle before they became stronger and more mature in Christ. I believe you'll search this book from Genesis to Revelation and you will not find it. You see, our maturity in Christ, our growing closer to Him is wrapped up, it seems, in this reality of struggle. An eagle will build its nest, and it will put in the very bottom of the nest thorns and rocks and sharp objects, and it will put them at the base of that nest. And then what it will do, it will get softer things, feathers from and skin from animals that it's killed, and lay it over the top of that nest. And then when those hatchlings, when those baby eagles are born, they have a nice warm place to be. But as those eagles grow, do you know what that mother eagle does? Starts to remove that softness. Take it out. Remove it from the nest. And we think this is a mother eagle who doesn't love her eaglets, or whatever you want to call it. But this mother's objective in picking out the nest, all of that soft material, is so that she can encourage them to be discontent with where they are and whet their appetites to leave the nest. Where are you with God in your relationship with Him since the moment that God saved you? Are you still in the nest, or have you left that nest? Has God allowed struggle in your life? to move you closer to Him. And make no mistake, Satan will try to take your struggles, and you know what he'll do? He'll tell us and he'll give us all kinds of pride in our hearts, and we'll point our finger at God and say, why am I going through this struggle? God, I thought you loved me. Why are you allowing this difficulty in my life? Why can't things go more smoothly in this world? I'm here to tell you today that you just better not expect a life lived for God in this world to go smoothly and without struggle and without trial. But at the end of that struggle and trial is blessing beyond any that we can comprehend. Blessing beyond anything. Paul said, these small trials I endure now, they are nothing compared to the glory that awaits me in heaven. But it is the trial here that is beautiful. Bring it into your heart and thank God for the struggle, because it's what's going to bring you closer to Him. And that's why he sent his son, and he told his son to go into the wilderness, and I'm going to have you fast for 40 days. And you are going to be hungry and you are going to be tired. Sometimes we think of Jesus as only God. And he was God, fully and completely God. But he was also man. He felt pain. He felt separation from friends. He felt emotions. He felt these things, and he went through this difficulty, and he went through them because his Father wanted him to go through it to bring him and show us an example of how to deal with troubles and trials and temptation. What struggle are you facing in your life that you are right now resisting? What struggle do you sense God is allowing in your life that you are pushing away? What struggle are you facing about which perhaps it is the very thing that God wants you to face so that you can then walk closer to Him and become the person He has called you to be? Don't resist the struggle. Embrace it with a heart full of joy. You know, one of the greatest paradoxes of the Christian life is that Christian who in the deepest moments of struggle can smile and feel joy and know that this is just for a little while. And can stand before the world and say, yes, I am struggling now. But there's going to come a day when I set those struggles down and I am never again going to pick them up. Never again gonna feel the pain of my own sin. Never again feel the pain of confusion and doubt and the blindness of the world that we talked about earlier. It's gonna be done away with, and done away with eternally. And the light of the city, Jesus Christ, is never gonna go out. And never again will a tear of burden and heartache hit my eye. Never again will separation from loved ones ever hurt again, because we will be with our Lord and the one who allowed us to go through these struggles, because He wants to draw us close to Himself. And He knows that if we don't go through the struggle, we will resist Him. And just like the mother eagle knows the best thing for my little eagles is to get out of the nest, God knows the best thing for you and for me is to get out of our nest and walk in this world close to Him, to the exclusion of everything else. Job, think about him, this man, and I've preached upon him recently, so he's top of mind for me. This man who has probably faced one of the most difficult struggles that man has ever faced. And we think about him in the midst of that. He says things like, God gave, God's taken away, blessed be the name of the Lord. We think about when he goes through the midst of all of this and he says, I know my Redeemer lives and I'm going to see him at the latter day. And we think about that and examine your heart. Don't you want to be like that? Don't you want to feel what that feels like to know that in God all things are well? And no matter what my circumstances might look like, He is watching over me. We want that depth of certainty, that depth of purpose, that depth of authenticity in our faith. The world, listen, the world is starving for authentic faith. The real thing. Satan has for far too long been allowed to mirror it and mimic it, but he can't ever really copy it. He doesn't have that ability. What he has is ability to confuse and deceive. But he never gives the real thing. We want that depth of authentic walk with the Lord. But we must note the struggle that always precedes that kind of certainty. My wife's grandfather, I've told the story a number of times, and his deathbed took his daughter's hand in one hand and his son's hand in another in the hospital and told them, according to Brother Steve, my wife's father said, he said this, in the moments of his last days, what we believe, what we have taught you, what we believe, I believe now more than at any other time in my life. It is in the midst of your struggle that you find out really what you have. It's not in the easy times. And there's a part of me, and I hope this is not wrong, and I know that it's somewhat irresponsible in some ways, but there's part of me, when you read Job, you're kind of like, God, I want to feel that. I want to know that you are all that I have. And if it means to take the bank account, if it means to take my family, if it means to take these things, then take them because, God, I want you to be my all. And there are people that will hear that and say, man, this guy is absolutely crazy. He's gone radical. He's lost his mind. But I'm telling you, God is all there is. All these other things are going to pass. Don't you see? All these other things, this pulpit, this building, this church, these relationships, my job, it's all going to be gone. In 100 years, it's just going to be gone. But what's going to last is God. Amen. And so, God, show me yourself. And I don't think we have to get rid of those things, but we must keep our eyes upon him. And he did ask Abraham, did he not, to sacrifice the very thing that was most dear to him. And God spared Abraham's son. You know whose son he didn't spare? His own. The knife was paused. As you read in Genesis, and that knife is above Isaac, and God provides another sacrifice, that knife really didn't go anywhere. It was just paused. And then the father used it and struck his own son so that we might have opportunity to be saved. And it's struggle that when we see this, even in salvation, isn't it conviction that sets up in the heart? So many people, are you saved? Are you a Christian? Yeah, I did that. I repeated the prayer. I've been baptized. I did that. I did that thing. No. Has God set up an abode in your heart? Do you know him? If all the world disappeared and you had no one to impress and it was just you, do you know him? Do you know him? When Jesus sits in front of you or stands in front of you in the judgment, and what's he going to say? That's the only question that really matters. And it's the only question that matters for a lost and dying world. And they need to hear this gospel, and they need to hear the good news that conviction is a good thing. It means that you have started to get an understanding of what it is to be saved. Some of these, though, you wonder, what are you saved from? You can't tell me. You don't know. There's no conviction. And by the way, I believe God saves in all places and in a variety of external circumstances and ways. But there's got to be a realization, a conviction that God has broken my heart for my sin. That's going to be there. And it may be different words that are used, but there's going to be an awareness of that. And even in salvation, it comes after struggle. Not that we merit it. You must have faith in Christ repentance toward God, but what you must do does not give you a single ounce of merit. It's not merited, it's unmerited, but it is not unconditional. It isn't. It is conditioned upon your faith and your belief. And going through your struggle is also conditioned on your faith and your belief. Did you realize that? Did you realize again? Do you remember how did they leave Egypt in the first place? God delivered his people. Picture salvation across a river on dry land. How did he deliver them into the land of promise? Across a river on dry land. Exactly the same way. We follow God the way we found him. In earnest prayer and repentance when necessary, not for salvation again, but God, make my heart right with you. Christ meets this temptation and he shows us how we are to meet it as well.
We hope you have enjoyed listening to today's program. Please visit us at www.covenantmbc.com to access our podcast archive and learn more about the ministry of Covenant Baptist Church. Visit us on our Facebook page at www.facebook.com/covenantinindy.